Oh, such a good question.
Well, what do you come with these questions? That's another great branding question.
That's a big question.
That's a very interesting question because it really makes you think about what you just did.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
And welcome back to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This is Ben Baker. I appreciate my audience coming back every single week. You guys are amazing. And every single week, I try to get a new guest for you. This week, I've got Tony D'Urso. He is amazing. You're going to love what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how do we break out of the box and get people to see us in a new light, because Tony has just written a new book and it takes him in a completely direction. And he and I have to have this conversation. So Tony, welcome to the show.
Ben, thank you so much for having me on your show. I am very honored to be here and I'm honored to speak with your guests. And I hope I can, by the time this is over, that some people have some new ideas, maybe some aha moments, maybe something that would inspire or spark them as well. So I look forward to seeing what we can do with this.
I love it. Tony, before we get started, let's talk a little bit about you. Let's get a brief history, because you and I are both authors, we're both radio people, but give people a little bit of a history of who you are and what brought you to this moment. So when we start the conversation, people at least aren't coming from a disadvantage.
Sure. Well, I'll try to truncate it. I really am Italian, by the way. I was born in Sicily, Italy. I grew up in Chicago, but sometimes my Chicago comes out. And I've been in Los Angeles pretty much most of my adult life. I have worked in the corporate world as a corporate level executive for 32 years. I've done a lot. And I've helped make a lot of people a lot of money. I focused on promotion and marketing. And I brought in so much money for the companies wherever I worked. And the one thing I noticed was my income would get pegged. You know, you're making six digits, but you're not going to get into a higher realm because you're working for someone and your income is kind of pegged. And so I took the opportunity in the year 2007 to form my own company and do exactly what I was doing for others, but now it's my company. That was good, but unfortunately, there were, in this 7 years, there were four major federal regulations, new protocols, and new this and that, that totally changed my income. I mean, I had multiple clients. One client was making $1 million a year on sales. That's, you know, the revenue. And they canceled. Why? A new federal regulation came in and they have to retool how they do marketing. Everything changed. And I got so tired of this four times in 7 years that I looked for something that I could do myself. And I kept hearing this word podcast. And when I found out, Ben, I was like, oh, I'm Italian. I can do that. I can talk. And I brought with me all of my knowledge on promotion, marketing, lead generation, which I used. And I started a show live 1 hour. And I got like 500,000 downloads in the first year.
It's amazing. If people don't understand it, that's an incredible number in the first year.
It is. Thank you. And now fast forward 5 years later, just started my fifth year. I'm at 10 million downloads. And you know what you just said is so true, because Blueberry, which is a major podcast host, they had an article, 75%+ of podcasters the year before are no longer in business. There's even a word for it now, Ben, called pod fade. Look it up in the dictionary. The average podcaster, maybe 7, 8, 9, 10 shows or so, and they stop because it's so difficult to get a lot of audience and to monetize. Well, I teach that and I help podcasters and I have some success, some good successes under my belt on that. And that's really what it takes. There's so much ideas. There's so much that people know. Everyone has the knowledge about something. You and I are a great case in point because we've talked about this. We both podcast. We both work with and help entrepreneurs, but we do it on a, you may say, a very different angle, because there's room for everyone. So even though I podcast and help about with entrepreneurs, and I bring wisdom, advice, and guidance to small business owners and so forth, all these shows aren't the same. They're very, very different.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, just started listening to a new show called For the Love of Podcasting. And Billy Samoa, oh God, I can't remember what his last name is. I'll have to get in and put it in the show notes. But he had a great episode, and they were talking about, and you're right, the number of podcasts since 2018 to 2020, podcasts have almost doubled. But the vast majority of them, you're right, they're ghosts. They make 7, 8, 10 episodes, and they're gone. And the reason for that is everybody says, just as you said when you started, I'm Italian, I can talk. Sure, I can do a podcast. Well, it's not that easy. There's a lot that goes with it. Being in front of the mic is the easiest part of podcasting. There's the marketing. There's the technical part of it. There is the editing. There is putting the show together. It's getting the right guests. It's all the stuff that goes around with it that's really the challenging part of podcasting. And the majority of people that try to get into this don't understand that. And it is an amazing community. And there are great podcasters out there that are willing to share everything. And, you know, it's not a competition, because the more people that are doing great things in podcasting, the better it is for the industry. And I think that that's an amazing thing. And that's why I love having other podcasters on my show, because it elevates, you know, it elevates us all. We all get better because of it. But let's get into this, because, you know, that's the one thing with podcasting is that we'll get into is that we all get to a point where we get known for something. Sooner or later, we become the person of X. This is what you're known for. You know, this is the type of show you do. This is the type of client you work with. This is the type of, you know, ideas that you come up with. And the people who know you love that, and they rely on you about that. But the problem is, when you try to do something different, when you try to go in a different direction, when you try to bring something new into your mix, it becomes a real challenge. And, you know, people get to sit there and say, wait a second, that's what it's like. Everybody wants to listen to the Stones music 50 years ago. If the Stones came out with something brand new today, I'm not sure how much people would embrace it. When Billy Joel decided to get into, you know, a classical music, nobody wanted to listen to it. Everybody sits there and says, no, I want to listen to the classics. I'm comfortable with this. This is what I go to this person for. That's it. So we all need there, especially in today where the world has changed, it's changing, it's going to change. And as companies and people, we need to be able to change along with it. So the conversation I want to have with you, and I'm going to let you take over the mic, is to sit there and think about how do we enable people know us to do something else, to embrace us doing something different than what we've always done?
Well, you know, Ben, the dichotomy here is that in most fields, such as podcasting, author, writing books, people get into this niche and they're very cemented and regimented in that. And to juxtaposition the opposite way, actors are the complete opposite. No actor really wants to get in a box of a certain type or stereotyped as a specific type of actor. They'll do comedy, they'll do horror, they'll do thriller, they'll do the bad guy, they'll do the good guy. But when you write a book, just as a case in point, I was told years ago by a publisher, and I've been told multiple times by a publisher that deals with New York Times bestsellers, saying, Tony, you only want to do fiction or you do nonfiction. You can't do both. And as you speak to people on a professional level, you have an entrepreneur, you interview some of the most famous, well-known, high-profile people in the world, you can't write a fiction book. And I believed it. I've got all these great ideas. There's more than just a one or a two-dimensional side of me. And my new concept here is be like a diamond. A diamond has multiple facets. It's still a diamond. It's still a gem. And actors understand this. You've got actors, they're a director, they're a producer. They do this movie, they do that. They'll do commercials. They're, you know, to be silly, ambidextrous, and they can do all these things, right? But you say that to an author, it's like, oh, no, 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 no. You've got to only do one thing. And I bought that. And it's like, no, that's wrong. Be a diamond. You know, create another facet that glows, that shines brightly. It's still part of you. And what got me to understand this was my publisher that I'm working with. She's a best-selling author. She does children's books. She does nonfiction. She does very technical books. She does stories. It's like, wow, this is so great. So I went ahead with my co-author and we put together a book, which became now a series. There's like 8 or 9 books projected in it. We've done about 6 books already called Iman of Atlantis. And, you know, it's like, that's fine. I can go back and do a fiction. Now, knowing me, of course, if you've listened to any of my shows at tonyduruso.com, you know, I interview podcasts, I interview entrepreneurs and small business owners. I always like to instruct or teach or something. So there are some, let's call it some takeaways in the book, but that wasn't why we wrote the book. And the book, just so you know, has nothing to do with the current madness that's going on in the world, though you would read it and you would think that we're trying to parallel something that's happening, but it just happens to be a coincidence because we didn't try. We just wanted to write a good story that would entertain people because we need a break. We need a break of our attention. You can't talk business, 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 business. My wife taught me that. We were together. We were, I say like as if it's happened in this December 26, we will be together 28 years. And some 10, 15 years ago, she asked me only one time, she goes, Tony, do you always talk business? And I was like, oh, wow. That was like profound, Ben. It was like, do I always talk business? You know, I had to really stop. It was like, really think about that, you know? And I think it's that way in being an author or doing a show. As I mentioned early on in this interview, we both have basic roots of helping entrepreneurs and businesses, but we do them in different ways. And there's more than just a two-dimensional side to someone. So if you're good and if you like doing something, go for it, do it. Build or cut, I think is the proper terminology. Another facet of your diamond, polish it up and become known for something else as well.
Hi, everyone. Do you want to be your best customer's vendor of choice? Do you want to cement relationships with them, add real value, and gain insights that your competitors just can't get? Go to podcasthostforhire.com. That's podcasthostforhire.com. And let's work together to make you the value vendor of choice. You know, I've got my own ideas as well, but I really want to delve into this with you because you have people that listen to your show and have listened to your show for 5 or 6 years now to the point where you have 10 million downloads. They expect you to be a certain way. They expect you to do certain things. They have a certain view of you. And how do you get that loyal audience to embrace a side of you that they've never seen before without becoming uncomfortable? I mean, it's not like you're going out doing something nefarious. You know, you're just creating a different set of ideas, but it's being able to introduce a different side of you when everybody has always thought of Tony as X, and now it's Tony X plus Y. How do you help make that transition in a way that an audience can sit there and say, oh, that's interesting. Okay, I'm willing to go down that journey with Tony.
Well, you know, Ben, contrary to popular belief, I don't push things in people's faces. My shows, my podcasts, are all about the guest. I do, if there's something that's appropriate, chime in. Just like I did in this show, I talked about that I've been married. You know, it just depends on what's coming up in the conversation. But I generally focus on my guest. And when I came out with the book, I did a couple commercials. And then for the past month, I didn't do any commercials. I told people it was coming on a couple commercials. And if you listen to my shows in the last month, there's no commercials on my new book. There's none. Well, I have sponsor slots and I have this consideration of what would be too many commercials. So I don't put any commercials on right now, especially with the holidays coming up. A lot of sponsors want to promote their stuff.
So to take this a different way, it's about introducing things slowly. It's just sitting there going, oh, by the way, here it is. There it is. Take a look at it. Touch it, feel it, poke it a little bit. See how you embrace it. I'll leave you alone with it for a little bit, and I'll come back to you in a little bit and see how you feel about it. It's not about being, say, oh, by the way, you know, now we're pushing this. We've pushed this field for the last 5 years. Now we're going in this direction. Well, wait a second. Hang on. Wait a second. That's too confusing. But if we look at it and go, all right, you know, by the way, we're still doing this. This is still us. The brand is still the same. This is just another facet of who we are, you know, and this is something else that we're also interested in. Maybe you'll be interested in this as well. So from what I'm hearing is, it's about building up that level of trust and reducing that level of fear, of anxiety, because people don't like change. Overall, people don't like change. You know, they're very comfortable within their box. They don't touch the sides. They don't touch the top. They're very comfortable doing what they do. And that's about it. So it's a matter of sitting there going, okay, let me introduce you to something slowly. So my question to you is, when you're getting feedback from your audience on something that you're testing, something that you want to send out there, how are you listening and how are you responding back to people?
Well, you know, Ben, as you podcast, and for all you podcasters or going to podcast in the future in the audience, the one thing on podcasting is you don't see your audience. You don't know who's listening or not. Are they listening to all or part? How many are listening? Do they listen to it live? Well, you do know if they listen to it live, but that interaction, that engagement, the best way you can tell is, well, did they buy from my sponsor? Did they go to my site and go click on whatever that I'm offering? It's the only way, because a majority don't really engage. I've run into people that say, Tony, I've been listening to you for years. I love what you do. It's like, I didn't know that. I had no idea that this particular person was listening to me and loved my shows. So you don't really know that. So you kind of have to gauge it based on, did they engage in an action or buy or whatever. And that's not always so easy to do. So when you do get, you know, a review or message, you kind of have to realize that it's a small fraction. It could be a multiple. It's 10% of your listening public. So it's kind of always hard to engage. So yes, when I introduce something like this, which I don't really introduce much other than this book right now, because normally over the past 5 years, I haven't really sold anything. I've promoted my guests and I've promoted my sponsors. So that was pretty much it. Though here and there I've promoted, and I do promote my book, which I give away free, which I don't even know how many people have taken because it's, you know, but yeah, it's kind of hard to tell. So I've kind of created my brand of what I think is my level of professionalism. And I just kind of roll with that. And I love it when I see people saying that they love my show or they engage or, you know, I just had a sponsor book another episode. Well, what does that mean? Nobody said, gave me any numbers or statistics, but that told me that the sponsor got something valuable from being on my show before and they booked another show. I was like, that's great, because otherwise you don't know. And that kind of lends to the podcast fade, because you don't know how effective you are because nobody's out there telling you. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's interesting. And that's a nice segue, because podcasting, along with a lot of other things, is we hear the very good, we hear the very bad, but the majority of the people remain silent. You know, the majority of the people, I don't care if it's podcasting, I don't care if it's marketing, direct mail, everything. I mean, let's face it, a direct mail campaign that does well gets 5% response rate. An email campaign gets less than 1%. It's probably doing well. So that means the vast majority of people that you're communicating with either are not interested now, are looking but not engaging, are thinking about it but not, you know, ready to engage. There's all sorts of different factors that happen. And all we can do is to keep engaging with people. And it's the consistency of the message and the consistency of the brand that leads to engagement overall. But we need to be able to sit there and say, okay, of the people that are engaging, of the 5%, the 2%, the 3% that bless their souls, that leave me, you know, comments on iTunes or email me or, you know, do whatever, tell, you know, stop me in the street and tell me that they actually listen to my podcast. I always say, what do you like about it? What would you like me to do better? And, you know, we all need to be afraid to ask, what can we do better? Because we can't serve our audience, no matter what that audience is, whether we're insurance brokers, whether we're a retail location, whether we're podcasters, whoever, unless we understand what our audience likes about us and what they don't like about us. So we need to be constantly listening. So my question to you is, over the last 5-6 years and the 10 million downloads that you've done, obviously you've done something right. Obviously you're resonating with people because they listen to you week after week, month after month, year after year. What do you do to be able to reward the people that do engage with you and that are your super fans? Because we all need to think of our best clients as super fans and help them, you know, feel special. So what do you do in order to make your super fans feel special, to make sure that they become champions of your brand?
Ben, that's a very tough question, and it's a great question that a lot of podcasters would probably want to know. Well, I don't know of anything that I give to the audience other than I work and I have a mentor. A world-class, very well-known radio personality listens to my shows and gives me amazing help and information to be better. So over the years, my shows have gone better. And I've also, in a way, not to be silly or weird, but my clientele, my guests have changed in what I ask them, how I ask them. And I bring on high-profile, well-known, world-famous guests that have quite the pedigree, and a lot of people have heard them in the entrepreneur and small business circles. So I have quite a good cadre, if that's the right word, or cache of guests that I bring on to exchange with my audience, because there's nothing that they pay me. I don't ask for anything. So I work to improve myself, how I deliver my show, how I present my show, as well as the guests that I bring on. And I wanted to make one comment on what you said earlier. Everyone in the audience listening right now, if you think about it, there's a TV show or a Netflix or a YouTube host that you really like, or a podcaster, and you really like, and you listen and you tune in. I have multiple shows like this that I tune in every week. I can't wait for the next episode of XXXX. But I don't buy anything from their sponsors, because they're not what I particularly need. You know, they could be a food item or whatever. But I don't buy it. But I'm a diehard fan of so many shows that I listen to. And think about that in the terms of podcasts. There's people, they love my show. I don't know that they love my show. They may not engage with my sponsor, but they'll tune in week after week to hear that show. So I just wanted to mention that in terms of what people get and what you can expect from people and so forth. So just to comment on that, but back to this other point, when you have a podcast, you want to keep improving yourself and keep it at a very high level of professionalism. And a mentor is very, very useful and very needed in something like that.
I absolutely agree. A mentor is possible. And we'll get back to that in a second, but I do things with every episode that I do, you know. There's two things that happen. A, it goes out on social media, and I'm relentless at answering every single comment that goes out on social media to be able to gain some type of engagement between my audience and myself. And I also have a survey that goes out to every single guest post-interview that sits there and goes, what did you like about the interview process? What didn't you like about the interview process? What could we have done better? What have you seen on other shows that you've really liked that we could incorporate? And I have gotten some phenomenal ideas. And it's not just podcasting. Every single company has got to be out there asking their guests, what can we be doing better? What are the things that we're doing? Because complacency is dangerous. You know, whether it comes back to our initial question of, you know, how do we break out of our box? The box that we live in is complacency. You know, we get comfortable doing what we do. We get easy. We don't take voice lessons. We don't improve ourselves. We don't listen to other podcasters. We don't go on other podcasts. We don't try different things with our shows because we get comfortable doing what we do. And the more that we can sit there and say, you know what, that was a really good show. What could I have done better? That was a really good email campaign. What could I have done better? That was a really good meeting with a client. What could I have done better? And not just, you know, look for what we can do better when we do terribly, but we need to look better for when we're doing better. So I want to talk to you about mentorship. And because I think that mentorship is so important. What are the things that your mentor works with you on that enables you to elevate yourself and elevate your show? Because, you know, it's that reflection that helps you be better.
I have three comments on that. One is, every time I do a podcast, I am like really zoned in that everything is set up, is organized, and I really give it my all. I want it to be the best interview I've ever done. I really do. And hopefully for you in the audience to check out my show, TonyDURSO.com is a simple way. I'm also on Apple Podcasts. I'm everywhere that you podcasts are. I really strive to make that each show, each, you know, just the best. It, regardless of what I've ever, who I've ever interviewed, this interview is important to me and I treat it with dignity and respect. Number two, in terms of the podcast and the mentorship, my mentor, he'll listen to a show and I don't ask him anything. When he, after a while, he hears shows, maybe now it's a couple times a year. He'll call me up and say, you know, and he'll feel me out because he doesn't, you know, he's very easygoing and doesn't want to say something abrupt that like I should change something. So he eases into how do I feel about whatever topic, you know, how I ask my questions, how I answer my questions. And he gets my feedback on that and then gives me his point of view of what he thinks could be done if I so choose to improve my show or to make it sound more like this. And he's got this beautiful approach and he's taken me from, you know, when I first started, every time someone says something, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's great. You know, all this stuff. And I don't do that anymore because I've learned and I've also watched and listened to professional podcasts and shows how to conduct an interview. And that is a really key facet, how to conduct the interview. So he's very, you know, there's no set time. There's no set anything. He listens to shows. And when he feels he's got something that is important, he'll call me and put it on the table and we'll discuss it. And he's just absolutely phenomenal that way. And I knew I had three things. I only remembered two. But the key is your mindset in going into the interview, which helps make a better show. And then having a mentor that's podcast, and my mentor is a radio personality, and he's done live shows for a very long time, and he knows how to deal with audiences, he knows how to ask questions, he knows how to deal with dull moments, and I let him work with what he has and let him, as the expert, suggest what can be done to make my show better. And it's just a world of difference from when I first started podcasting.
So one last question, and this is throwing it out to left field. So many people sit there and say, I'm going to create a podcast because I'm looking for an extra stream of income. What's your thoughts?
A podcast can be an extra stream of income if you podcast about your current business, what you're doing now, and use that podcast to increase the engagement and the likability factor with your audience, and that you are an expert in whatever it is, whether it's building cars or horticulture or whatnot. So if you podcast about what you're already doing a business, then you're not necessarily going to take a loss if the podcast doesn't monetize, but you can, and you can use that as a promotional tool to bring in more prospects, to bring in clients, and to educate prospects that you get by listening to various podcasts so that they get to know you better and want to work with you better. So those are several things. So I believe everyone should podcast because everyone is an expert on something. And by sharing your knowledge with others, you can resonate and create this camaraderie in this group with people that are like-minded.
So I got one last question for you, and then I'm going to let you out the door. We'll make sure that people get a link to your show, that we get a link to your website, that we get a link to the new book on Amazon. Everything will be there in the show notes. But one question I ask everybody as they walk out the door of my show, when you leave a meeting or you turn off the mic or you get off stage and you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
So I want people to take away that I bring to them. That's how I want to be known, that I bring to them some of the best material that I can find out there to make it easier for people to also be successful.
I love it. Tony, thank you for being such an amazing guest. I appreciate everything that you've done. You know what? I have been waiting for this interview, so thank you. It did not disappoint.
Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you. It is, again, an honor to be on your show. And I'm glad I had a chance to tell my story. And I'm going to reciprocate and have you on my show in the new year.
I would absolutely love that. Thanks, Tony. And I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Ben. Thank you.
This has been the YourLivingBrand.live show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at YourLivingBrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?